Be turning in your songbook to 903. That will be our song of encouragement and invitation in just a few moments. We thank all of you for being here, and we appreciate all those that may be visiting with us. We did want to mention to you that the beautiful floral arrangement in front of the pulpit this morning was given by the Sparks family, and we appreciate it so much. What a beautiful tribute to Anne. And we just certainly are remorseful this morning over her passing. And yet at the same time, we realize what a blessing it is to be able to be in the arms of our Lord. And that's where she is right now. And we're thankful and grateful for she and Dale and what they have done for this congregation and what they mean to our church here. I was going to say also, it's good to see Henry here this morning. Henry Taylor, he had an appendectomy this week, and he's up and going and blowing and stirring and helping us this morning pick up the cards. And it's good to see you, Henry, and we appreciate it. I'm sorry we couldn't get that on the PowerPoint this morning. Our computer has been down, and so if you see some mistakes in the prayer list and in the bulletin, we made those for you. Anyway, you know, sometimes there are always people that are looking, trying to find something, so hopefully you'll find something this morning. But in all seriousness, we regret that we've had trouble with that, but we'll be able to be up and going by next Lord's Day. We sincerely hope so and pray to that end. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about being blessed by God. How many of you are blessed by God this morning? I don't know of anyone that couldn't raise their hand on that one. We're all blessed by God. You've seen the bumper stickers that say, too blessed to be stressed. And isn't that true? You know, you get a little stressful when things don't go right and the computer's not working, it shuts you down and you start frantically trying to think. And as Dwight and I were talking this morning, you know, how many of you remember when you didn't have a church bulletin? A bunch of you. How many of you remember when we didn't have PowerPoint? Yeah. You know, there are a lot of things that we do out of tradition. And we just feel like, someone told me one time, I think it was Brother Earl Milner a number of years ago, he said, you know, you practice something long enough and it will become law. Or it will cease to be tradition and it will become scriptural. It's kind of like changing the time on a Sunday morning for worship or a Sunday night or whether we have two songs and, instead of three. You know, we always talk about the opening prayer. God doesn't call them that. Or the closing prayer. Or the in-between prayer. You know, we are a tradition-bound people. But are we blessed? And we are tremendously blessed this day in so many, many wonderful ways. We have a blessed life when you stop and think about it. You know, the Bible in the book of Genesis 6 and verse 8 says, but Noah found grace or blessing in the eyes of the Lord. One translation uses the word favor, but it really is a blessing. And I think all of us understand the importance of being blessed because most generally we begin every prayer with that thought, do we not? Lord, thank you for all of your blessings. You know, there's so many special blessings in life. The Word of God being one of them. It is infallible, and the timing of God is actually impeccable. It is. God's blessings are indescribable. You know, isn't it? Aren't we thankful this morning, and isn't it great to anticipate going to be with our Savior in heaven? When Paul addressed the church at Corinth in his second epistle, or as our president says, 2 Corinthians, actually, in that particular text, he says, you know what? The eye has not seen, and the ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man the glory that God shall reveal in us. That's how wonderful heaven is going to be. And it is going to be blessed. In Isaiah 60 and verse 1, the Bible says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. David said in Psalms 103 that he loadeth us with blessings. When I think of blessings being defined, it actually relates to regard for those who are treated with preference or partiality. If you have been blessed today, you ought to thank your God. If you have a body that allowed you to get here this morning, praise God. If you had a mind that enables you to discern the things that are taught, thank God. If you had an automobile to get you here this morning, thank God. If you have a house in which you live or a meal that you're going to enjoy after this service is over, thank God for all of His blessings. They are so numerous when you think about it. But being blessed is an act of kindness on the part of our God. You know, God is so kind, is He not, to all of us? In 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, David said, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect or loyal toward Him." That's a great blessing, isn't it? That God is watching out for you. He's watching out for me. And here are some of the ways by which we obtain the blessings of the glory of God. Well, first of all, Job says that we pray about our blessings. A lot of times we approach God to say, "Bless us here, bless us there," instead of thanking God for all of His wonderful blessings, praying about it. One of the ways we do it, according to Proverbs chapter 33 and verse 1, is actually by keeping the commandments of God. If you were to ask me this morning, how do I receive the blessings of God? I can't tell you that there is a greater way than going to God and praying about it and asking the Lord to bless you because you keep His commands. Or by seeking and finding God's wisdom, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 35. By diligently seeking good, Proverbs 11 and verse 37. By living righteously. So Solomon said in the book of Proverbs 14 and verse 9. And there are many benefits of living in the glory of the Lord. And here are some of them. You want to wonder what the blessings are? Here they are. Our petitions will more likely be granted. That's why in the book of James, the Bible says, if we lack wisdom, pray about it, and God will give it unto us. As long as we're using it in the right way, I think that God is going to grant our request. And God will compass us with a shield. And didn't David say the same thing in Psalms 5 and verse 12? He is a shield around me. We receive life eternal through Him, Psalms 30 and verse 5. Or our enemies will not triumph over us. No, they won't. Not according to Proverbs 41 and verse 11. And God will show His mercy. Now, these are just some of the great blessings that our Lord God in heaven gives unto us. We must choose to take a good name rather than great riches. Isn't that something? It's wonderful to have funds. It's wonderful to be blessed financially. It's wonderful to have the material things of life, and most all of us have more things than we will ever use or even need in our life. And that's why Solomon said it is better to choose a good name. It is better to have a good name than it is to have the wealth of the world. For to be held in loving esteem or the blessings of God, it is better than silver and gold. Now, how do we go about receiving it? First of all, we have been chosen by God for blessings. Do you know that what you have today, you know who that came from? It didn't come from you. You've heard people say, "Well, he pulled himself up by his own bootstraps." You ever heard that? Have you ever heard people say, "He's a self-made man"? I'm telling you, there are no self-made men in our world. Never have been. If you are made and if you are blessed, it is because of God Himself. And you and I have been chosen for His blessings. I don't think they just come happenstance. I don't believe in luck. I know a lot of people do. They rush down and buy lottery tickets and think they're going to win and that they're going to have a lot of money. Several years ago, we had a woman that bought a lottery ticket, won $5,000. And she came to me and she said, "You think I would be all right for me to give part of this to the Lord?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "In my opinion, the devil's had it long enough." Now, but I don't make a practice of that. We have been chosen by God for the blessings of the Lord. And if you're blessed, it's because you are a chosen one of God. And you know what you ought to do? Accept them. Accept them. Thank God for them, but accept them. We are not blessed by God because we are good, but because God is good. A young man came to Jesus one time, and actually we refer to him as the rich young ruler. Had a lot of money, had a lot of things going his way. He could have been Mr. Jerusalem or who's who among religious folk. And actually came to Jesus, and he addressed him by saying, good master, how can I inherit eternal life?" And he said, "Keep the commandments." And he said, "That have I done from my youth up." And he says, "Yes, but there's one thing you lack. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and then you come and follow me, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." It's one thing to have treasure on earth and another thing to have treasure in heaven. Where are your treasures? What do you treasure the most in your life this morning? You are blessed because God is good. And in 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, Paul said, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Don't live like the world. Don't focus on the world, but focus upon God. And when God decides to bless you, He, and I believe this, He will cause situations to come together in your favor no matter what others try to do. People may try to overthrow you. People may hurt you. People may smite you. People may speak against you. But God will allow you to prevail. You know why? Because you're blessed of God. You're blessed of God. You are unique as a Christian. You have the empowerment of God. Now you may ask me, you may say, "What do you mean the empowerment of God? What's that all about?" Well, in the book of John 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, "To them that receive Him gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to those who call on His name." I believe that God does empower us. You ever seen people do things and you think, "Man, I don't know how in the world they did that"? I can tell you how they did it. They did it by the power of God. God came into their life. I have seen so many situations in my lifetime as a preacher. I'm going to tell you something, and there have been times that I look at the lives of others and I say, it's just beyond me how they were able to handle that, how they were able to get over that. And most of the time, you don't get over it. You get through it, and there's a big difference. But I can tell you one thing for sure, that God does empower us. To those that receive Him, if you don't receive God, He's not going to bless you. But if you honor God with your life, I'm telling you, you will be tremendously blessed. Look at Isaiah chapter 60. "Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." And you know what? When you walk out of this building this morning, you can say that the glory of God is resting upon me. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of the rising," He says. What you are able to accomplish in life is because there is a force that is breathing behind you. And you know what? God pushes us in ways to do things we think we cannot do. Remember a little story about the train? Remember that? I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, and they finally get to the top. That's the way it is in life. When we are children of God, God is saying unto you, to us, yes, you can, yes, you can, yes, you can. And he will empower you to accomplish his will. And what God knows about me is more important than what others think about me or what they think about you. You can't change their thoughts. They have to change their thoughts. But I'm going to tell you something. I am connected unto my God who is in heaven. And right now, in the face of God, is shining down upon you. And you may be weighted down with problems and issues and trouble, but God's glory is greater. Go back to that passage I mentioned a moment ago in 2 Corinthians. That it's never even entered into the mind of man, the glory that God shall reveal unto us. You know, there have been so many things that have happened in my lifetime. I could have never seen it 50 years ago, where I am today, what I'm doing. But God has blessed me because I blessed him. For Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord with all that is within me. Sometimes our blessings come, and what we call those blessings or that are unexpected is serendipity. That's a big word. But it's an unexpected blessing. You don't understand how it happened. You don't know where it came from. But out of the clear blue, God just blesses you. It wasn't luck. But God bless you. So don't go through life thinking you're average and that you can't accomplish the desires of your heart. Be like the Apostle Paul who said, I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. And God has set you up for a distinctively called out blessed life. Have you ever wondered why Christians are blessed? Because of God. He's the one that blesses you. This is where I start my comeback. That's what we ought to say. I'll spend no more time asking God why doors have been closed, because I will be too busy praising God for the doors that are about to be opened. And I really believe as a Christian, God blesses us. He does. You know, we sing that old song, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. Have you ever tried doing that? For blessings you didn't work for, and for houses you didn't build, and for vineyards you didn't plant, God says in Joshua 24, I gave all of this to you. I gave it to you. It's not just a lucky break. People talk about lucky breaks. But God blesses us. John 1 and verse 16. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Many of them. It's not luck. And when Moses would write the book of Exodus, he'd write about a lot of things. He not only wrote historically about the nation of Israel and what they were doing and what they went through, but he talked about the blessings of God. And he said, I will see to it that the Egyptians load you down with gifts when you leave, so that you will by no means go out empty-handed. Now, had they followed God, they had plenty. They would not have had to wander in the wilderness. But because they disobeyed God, God had to step back in and provide manna from heaven and quail for their sustenance. But he says, I'm going to make sure that when I deliver you, I don't deliver you empty-handed. Let me tell you something. God does not want you to go away empty-handed. Because he's going to bless you. It is not because of who you are, but whose you are. It is not because of your skill or your connections or your talents, but because God's glory was upon them. You know, you can't hide the glory of God. Can't do it. And when others are fearful and distraught, you will remember that you are in the glory of God. And when something happens to you in your life, you have to back up, because I know the most common thing is to think, oh God, why did you do it? You listen to people cry out. But what we have to do is back up and say, you know what? I know the Lord is behind all this. He's breathing behind me. I'm going to make it. And God is going to bless me because He is good. What happened in your life? In past tense. Not happened to you, but happened in your life. It happens for your good. You have to believe that, folks. For Romans 8 and verse 8 says that the Lord God blesses us. And every blessing that He gives, according to His word in Romans 8 and verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them. Here it is. Not for everybody, but for him that loves the Lord and does His will. Now, a lot of people generally say all the time, well, you know, things always work out for the best. That's a lie from hell. Things don't always work out for the best, but they do for God's children. And that's what Paul is saying. We know. He didn't say we think or we hope, but he says we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purposes. And let me tell you something. You are blessed. God can do more than we can imagine. He can. More than we could ever think about. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's kind of like that passage over in 2 Corinthians, isn't it? That we think according to the power, there's that power again, that He gives unto us, that works within us. God knows exactly what you need. And you know what? He always steps in at the right time. Our Father knows what you need even before you ask it. That's how connected we are to God. In Matthew 6 and verse 8. And then in Matthew 9 and 29, then touched He their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. Yes, it takes faith. It takes big faith. It takes believing when you feel like you can't believe. You believe. And as long as you're connected to God, you are connected to a supply line that never runs dry. He meets all of our needs. Remember back in COVID when you went to the grocery store and the supply line, I mean, hey, didn't make it and they were out of all kinds of things? You know what? That will never happen in God's storehouse. I'm telling you, the blessings of God are better than Amazon. They are. He will see to it that it gets there at the right time. You don't have to worry about someone stealing it or taking it away from you or from your door, because God will see to it. But my God shall supply your need, all your need, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, what a promise. Going to bless me. But thirdly, don't wait until God takes the difficulties away from your life to honor Him. Sometimes people want to play, let's make a deal with God. And they want to deal with Him and say, well, you know, God, if you just take all these issues away, these problems away from my life, and I'll serve you faithfully, I'll always be loyal. No, you won't. Because in the next difficulty, problem comes along, you'll blame God again. just like the Israelites did. He supplied manna from heaven and quail. And you know what they did? They cried out and said, our soul hates this light bread, this manna. We don't want any more. We want to change the menu. We'd like a little fried quail. I'm sure they ate it every way, boy, shoot. But don't wait until the difficulties abate. For Job 13 and verse 15, Job was in the midst of his great problems. And those whole 41 chapters before he comes to his senses and thanks God in Job 42. But he says, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. I will be faithful unto God. So bless the soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And bless his holy name. And bless the Lord, and O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities and who heals all of your diseases. I will bless the Lord at all times, David said in Psalm 34:1. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. And bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget his benefits. Psalms 103. What God lifts up, no man can push down. And I'm going to tell you something, God lifts you up. It's like in the book of Job 22 and verse 29. When they ask the question of Job, why art thou disquieted within thy soul? And he says, there is a lifting up for the people of God. And I'm telling you this morning, there is a lifting up for God's people. Whoever you are, there is a lifting up. For thou, O Lord, according to Psalms 5 and verse 12, wilt thou bless the righteous with honor and glory, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. For thou hast granted me life and blessings, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. You know what propels me every day? Is because I know I'm the recipient of the greatest blessings in the world. The forgiveness of my sin, because I walk with the Master. The hope of heaven. The protection of a mighty God. For a good man obtains blessings of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Proverbs 12 and verse 2. But if God is for us, Romans, according to chapter 8 and verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? We are too blessed to be stressed. And you know what God does? God asks us to humble ourselves before him. But you know what God does? God bows down before us. Several years ago, a friend of mine wrote a book entitled, Will God Run? It was a depiction of the story of the prodigal son and how the father, when he got a glimpse way down that path of that young son coming home, the Bible says the father ran to meet him. I have come to believe that when we make bad mistakes and when we repent, I see God running to me. Running. Will God run? Yes. Again and again. And there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. I want to be blessed by God, and that's why I want to follow his plan of salvation. I want to believe. I want to hear the word of God, first of all, for how shall they obey that do not hear? Romans chapter 10. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. I want to believe in my heart all those wonderful things. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that loveth God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know what that word reward means? It's favor, it's blessings. That's why I confess his name. I'm not ashamed to confess the name of Jesus anywhere. I don't care where it is. I'd stand up to the demons of the world and confess that Christ is Lord and he is my Savior. Many years ago, I was 13 years of age. Heard a sermon about Jesus that morning. And was moved to walk down the aisle of invitation and to become a Christian. Little did I know that that step would lead me where I am. But it did. The precious blood of Jesus can touch you and redirect your course. If you're surrendering to Christ, obey his will. We'll baptize you into Christ, raise you up to the new life of blessing. And if you're a child of God who's erred from the way, you have forgotten, and you want to come back to God, do it now while we stand and while we sing.